This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's episode 305, and it's a bit chilly in the car. We've had gorgeous weather for January. We've just had gorgeous weather, and then it just kind of snapped cold a little bit, but it could be much worse. It could be worse. It's not bad. It's only like in the 40s, which last year this time, I think we were in the 10s or 20s. Last year we had a cold snap. So that's not bad for the end of January.
We're going to be good. Excuse me.
You know, it's because February is kind of the crest over point for us, and so 4 more weeks or so, and it's going to be March, and we are on the way. On the way, on the way to spring, and then on to summer, and then more to come. It's been a good week. Got a lot of good stuff done. I was technically supposed to do a release this week, but once we actually got into it, there were some things on deployment servers and those kind of things that had to be worked out, and one of the guys who was integral to all those discussions, his mom got put in the hospital in Arkansas, and so he went down there, so he was gone for a little bit. We could have gone on and pushed, but you know, it's fine. We knew that this was going to kind of be a soft launch anyways. So this wasn't some kind of big, hard, fast deadline. So that actually gave me a chance to get a few more things done on the project that we just weren't going to have done. So that was all fine and dandy. And that all worked well. Trying to think, anything else at work? It's been interesting. I've been talking to one of my work associates who would like things to, in general, with technology, be better. And I just keep telling him, buddy, you know, this is what we got. You know, this is the way it goes. And it's interesting because I have had a couple of experiences with technology. Sometimes when you work at a corporation, people start getting a myopic view, like nowhere is as bad as this, you know? So, I always kind of try to do my part to tell people, you know, this stuff happens everywhere. It's just going on everywhere. And so, for instance, the people I buy my propane from for our little rock house that we rent out, we're down to about 30% on the tank. So, you know, well, 25% probably. So, you know, it's like, it's about time we should get some propane. So I call up the propane company and I give them my name and my address, and they cannot find me. I just bought propane. I just bought propane from them in September, a scant 4 months ago, and they cannot find me in their system. And the lady was apologizing. She said, I'm really sorry. She said, but you're just not showing up. So I don't know if she typed something wrong or I don't know what happened. Anyways, I said, well, I think I've got some paperwork from the last time we bought from you all. So I said, I'll dig up that paperwork and then I'll call you. So I called her this morning on the way into work and I had my little piece of paper. And I said, okay, there's all kinds of numbers on this piece of paper. Now, can you tell me which is my customer number? And she said, well, yeah, she said, give me the one under ship to. Oh, God. Okay. So, yeah. So the customer number is under ship to, not customer, because customer has my name under it. Okay, that's fine. So I give her the number and she said, oh, there you are. Hey, okay, now we're getting closer. So, you know, so we talk, we just, so then I tell her, I say, now, I used to be able to pay online using your online payment system. But I said, whenever it was, December, November, whenever you change that, which I think it was about in October somewhere, because I was trying to pay right after this delivery. And I go out there and I try to sign up and it says, oh, we're upgrading our system. And it's going to be 2 weeks we're going to be offline. 2 weeks. Nobody's going to be able to make online payments for 2 weeks. Like, what? I cannot imagine walking in and telling a customer that, yeah, we're going to upgrade your systems. It's going to be great, except you're not going to be able to take any payments for 2 weeks. What? So then they get it upgraded, and I go to their website, and it says, well, enter your customer number. Oh, okay, my customer number. And so I look in my invoice, and I find this number that I think is my customer number, so I put it in. And it is the number that I gave her today when I was on the phone. It is that number. And so I put it in, and it just... It doesn't give me an error. It doesn't. It just routes back to, you know, some page on their website. It's like, okay, you're done. And I think I did that several times, you know, over several days, thinking, well, they'll get this fixed eventually. They never did. It's like, okay. So I can't remember how I ended up paying them the last time, but I ended up getting them paid, done, and done. So I mentioned that. I tried it again this morning. Because I was trying to find my customer number and I was trying to, you know, see other information I might need. And so I put in this number that I thought was my customer number. Nothing happened. So I mentioned that to the kind young lady I was talking to today. I said, you know, by the way, I said, I know this isn't your area, but I should just mention to you that I can't get into your billing site anymore. I've been trying for months now and it's just... And so I said, you know, I said, is this the number? Yeah, she said, that's the... Well, she said, probably the problem is that you're trying to put in your billing customer number when you really need the customer support customer number. Oh, really? They're two different numbers. So she gives me... the other number. And I'm just thinking, oh man, are you kidding me? Are you really? This is not good. So I'm going to go home and try this other number that she has given me, and hopefully that number will work. Yeah, so, you know, technology, it's just the way it is. So when I told my buddy at work those stories, he just shook his head. I said, man, this is technology. You know, sometimes it's just not great. So there you go. Oh, the other thing I'm pondering at this point, is an ongoing thing I have been pondering literally for a decade. In fact, I have been pondering it for long enough that my wife's opinion is, will you just go ahead and do it and get it over with? And that is getting my teeth whitened. My dentist, who is the kindest and most lovely person, and the kindest and most lovely dentist, every time I go in to get my teeth cleaned, because I eat walnuts and cocoa nibs and, you know, I have stained teeth. It's not because I drink coffee. It's because I eat walnuts and cocoa nibs. So I go in there and they get out, you know, the water thing and the, you know, and then by the time they get done working, it's like, hey, look, it's like I've had my teeth whitened. You know, I love going to see the dentist because they clean my teeth. And everything just is shiny and new when they get done with it. So, but she always comes in and she says, you know, she said, we could whiten your teeth too. And she said, you have teeth like when we make denture sets for people. That I think I might have mentioned this last week. Things blur together after a while. Anyway, so I'm pondering. Is this vain? Get my teeth whitened. So finally, I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to find out the details on it. So I call up and say, okay, so what's involved? And so they got to take impressions of my teeth, and they're going to give me some trays that I put some stuff in and got to do that. But then there's also going to be two, 1.5 hour sessions where they're going to put stuff on my gums to protect the gums, and then put stuff on my teeth, and then bring in this big ultraviolet light. Oh, I don't know. So I said, well, we'll talk about it when I'm down there. You know, because 3 hours plus travel time. You know, so it's a half hour down there, half hour back. So it's actually 5 hours. Wow. Anyways, we'll see. I will see. I don't know. I don't know. I could do it on Fridays and, you know, rush my dad to the grocery store early in the morning, get that done, and then go down there and not really lose that much time, because Friday mornings are gone anyways. But now that I know that it's basically going to be a 5 hour commitment, it's like, ugh. But we'll see. I'm going to talk to her in 2 weeks, so I'll figure out what that. As far as the book goes, the latest book, it goes fine. Excuse me. I actually got the thing landed on Saturday, which is good. That's good. That's the good news. It is landed. The bad news is I have to edit this thing now, and it is over 500 pages in manuscript. Ugh. It's the last one was like 450 or so pages in manuscript. No, 400. 400, and that was too long. 400 pages in manuscript. This one is 500 pages in manuscript. Which means that the editing process is going to take longer because there's more pages. Last time I got the editing done in like 2 weeks, which was good. I don't know how long it's going to take this time. But I've gotten started on it. Already had to rewrite. I had to repace, I should say. I had to change the pacing on the first few chapters because it just wasn't. It wasn't. You got to get moving. So, but I've got that rewritten, and now we're into the action phase. You know, so now we've got through that initial exposition where you're just trying to get people back into the universe again and then just start running. So I'm hoping once I get through this spot, you know, we can start rolling and I can start getting edited this faster. But, you know, I think it's going to be fine. So far, so good, I should say. And I've actually been thinking, okay, can I turn this around? But, you know, every piece leads to the next piece, which leads to the next piece, which leads to the next piece. And it's all, you know, it just, once a story runs out on you, it's hard to restructure. And it's almost easier just to go, okay, that was too long. The next one will be shorter. Sorry, here we go. Just move on, especially when you got 24 of them you're trying to get through. So, you know, hopefully I will have made some good progress by next week getting things edited up and you know, we'll move on from there. This week, I kind of have a little short topic, which is the reason I spent a little more time just gabbing. This week, I have a shorter topic. But, you know, it just... I came across this, and I thought, well, yeah. And it's... it's one of those things that I don't know how much more convincing. Well, I can't even say that, because I already know that when it comes to the intake of sugar and simple carbohydrates, that Americans are going to keep doing it. It doesn't really matter how much information we amass to try to convince people that that is a bad idea. That eating stuff made with white flour, eating stuff made with high fructose corn syrup in it, eating stuff that has added sugars to it, eating that it's not good for you. Period. It's not good for you. And you should radically cut down your intake of sugar. And that includes anything that's really refined and processed. Any kind of refined and processed carbohydrate, your body is going to turn it into sugar. And it's just a bad idea to eat that stuff. People say, well, can't I have it? You know, okay, occasionally. Once in a while. But on the whole, it's a bad idea to eat that stuff. I had breakfast with a young couple that we always used to go out to breakfast, and they were kind of on the paleo diet. We're doing really well. They relocated to St. Louis and then just kind of got out of the pattern, and before you know it, they were doing the pizza, and they were doing the, you know, it just, you just fall right back into it because it's so addictive. And finally, this, they've been gone for a couple of months, and so finally, this, like, last 30 days, they decided, okay, that's it, we're getting back on the bandwagon. And so they did a paleo Whole 30, where they're eating fairly strict paleo for 30 days. And they just, you know, once you've been back in it again, they said, it's just so hard. I said, I know. It's highly addictive. And, so anyways, the topic is that this guy, I think he was in Australia, decided that he would just eat kind of a recommended diet if you listen to the marketers. So he would eat stuff that was quote-unquote, wink, wink, healthy for you, you know, like the diet foods and the protein bars and that kind of stuff. And that's what he would eat. He wouldn't eat a lot of candy, but he'd just eat the stuff that was supposedly, you know, the low-fat food stuff that the marketers recommend that you eat. Well, if you're trying to lose some weight, you should just eat this stuff. So he did this. And Damon Gameau is his name. His upcoming film is called That Sugar Film. He followed a strict diet of quote-unquote healthy, low-fat foods that all had a high sugar content. Because, of course, it's okay to eat sugar. You know, I mean, you just have to eat good sugar. Okay, so anyways, 60 days. This man, who was a healthy, ate right, exercised, blah, 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 before he started this. He ate this for 60 days to figure out what the impact would be on his health. Said that the formerly healthy Gameau, G-A-M-E-A-U, became moody and sluggish. A doctor gave him a shocking diagnosis within 3 weeks of him starting this. 3 weeks, the doctor gave him this diagnosis. According to Mayo, let's see, the doctor gave him a shocking diagnosis. He was beginning to develop fatty liver disease. And according to Mayo Clinic, the most severe outcome of fatty liver disease is liver failure. Fatty liver disease is what happens when you overload your liver with so much sugar that it can't keep up and it can't process it. Because sugar, fructose specifically, fructose, your body deals with fructose the same way it deals with alcohol. It deals with it as a toxin. It is the job of your liver to clean out sugar from your system. Fructose specifically, not glucose, fructose. So if you eat too much, what happens is your system, your liver gets overloaded and it starts putting in fat deposits. And from there on out, everything starts going downhill because the calories that you consume, checking my mail, the calories that you consume, there's a high percentage of them, of the fructose that just gets converted immediately into fat. And so it really does matter what you eat and the types of calories that you eat once you get yourself into this situation because you've eaten too much sugar. Anyway, so that's within 3 weeks. He was on the way for this. Now, here's, again, the really important part to note of this. He said, I had no soft drink, chocolate, ice cream, or confectionaries. I'm backing into my garage. One moment. He said all the sugars that he was eating. One moment. Backing into my garage. All the sugars that he was eating. I'm always worried about running into something when I'm backing into my garage. were found in perceived healthy foods. Low-fat yogurts, muesli bars, cereals, fruit juices, sports drinks. These kinds of things that often parents would give their kids thinking they're doing the right thing. However, in eating these things, he was consuming 40 teaspoons of sugar a day. 40 teaspoons of sugar a day. One moment. I need to get a light on in the garage. And if I just walk a little bit, there it is. Ta-da! We actually have a little sensor in our garage. Okay, so 40 teaspoons of sugar a day. Now, I checked. There are 4 grams of sugar in a teaspoon. So he was getting 160 grams of sugar a day. 160 grams. Now, the American Health Association's daily recommendation is 4 teaspoons for women, so that's 24 grams a day, and 9 teaspoons for men, which is 36 grams a day. Personally, well, if you're getting it in fruit, real fruit, not fruit juices, real fruit, and you're eating it with the fiber and the fruit and all that kind of stuff, you're not putting it in a juicer, okay, fine, 36 is fine, but... So in that sugar film, Gemmo observed that the additive impact, the additive sugar impacted his physical and mental health. Doctor called his mental functioning unstable and the father to be reportedly put on nearly 4 inches of visceral fat around his waist. He was on a fast track to obesity. Gemmo said his sugar-laden diet left him feeling hungry no matter how much he ate. His final meal, which consisted of a juice box, a jam sandwich, a bar, and a handful of other snacks, is similar to any ordinary child's lunchbox. Sadly, it was very easy to do and fitted comfortably into a small plastic container. He said the last meal was for all the people out here, especially parents, who are led to believe that they are doing the right and healthy thing for their children. They are making an effort yet are horribly let down by the lack of integrity in marketing and packaging strategies. He said that sugar is now 80% of the processed food we are eating. If we can remove that, that's the first stage in making the chain. And then they have statistics. You know, you've heard these kind of statistics. According to the Center for Disease Control, 29.1 million Americans, or 9.3% of the population, have diabetes. In adults, type 2 of diabetes accounts for about 90 to 95% of all diagnosed diabetes cases. Research has shown that sugary drinks are linked to type 2 diabetes. Consuming excess added sugar is also associated with a higher risk of developing cardiovascular diseases, the leading cause of death for men and women, according to the CDC. Heart disease accounts for 1 in 4 deaths in the United States, or about 600,000 annual deaths. Sugar, sugar, sugar. Simple carbs that get turned into stuff in your body. Sugar. You know, I don't know how much... I don't know how much more research we need, but the problem is that none of this information is really going to make fundamentally a difference in the majority of people. It will in some. Some people will look at this and say, you know, I need to do better by my body. But the problem is that it's addictive and it tastes good. And when you eat it, it might makes you want to eat more. And it's really sad. Because once people get addicted, then they fall into the path that unfortunately I have found is true. All addicts lie. And once you get addicted to something, you just figure out ways to justify why you should still have it. Even though you know it's not the right, well, I'll just have a little. Well, but it tastes good. Well, you eat the same thing all the time? Oh, I just couldn't do that. I have to have this. I have to. It is a very, very sad thing to see people, talented people, you know, people who have tremendous abilities slowed down and weighed down because they're so busy looking for their next sugar fit. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.